Greetings. My name is Dr. Colleen Pryor, and this is a special episode of the podcast Religion in the American Experience, sponsored by the National Museum of American Religion. Our special episodes explore the religious context of events happening in the news, as well as the effect of national and global events on religious groups in the United States. As it is impossible to know when events pertaining to religion in the United States will make headlines, we plan to release these videos on an as-needed basis to put current events and trends into context. If you like what you hear, please check out our regular episodes of Religion in the American Experience on nmar.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we will be exploring the effect of the war in Gaza on both Muslims and Jews in the United States. Most of you listening probably know what happened by now. On October 7th, 2023, the militant organization known as Hamas carried out a massive covert attack on the state of Israel. An estimated 1,200 people were killed in the attack, and 240 were taken as hostages. Hamas is the governing body of the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip, also known as Gaza, is a disputed occupied Palestinian territory about 25 miles in length along the Mediterranean Sea. In power in Gaza since 2007, Hamas has been designated as a terrorist organization by both the United States and the European Union. In response to this attack, the State of Israel launched a defensive attack against Hamas, primarily focused in the northern half of Gaza. During the fighting, thousands of Palestinians in Gaza have been killed. Estimates vary between 11,000 and around 17,000 deaths in Gaza since October 7th, but it's difficult to know for sure how many have been killed at this stage in the fighting. On Friday, November 24th, a week-long humanitarian pause in the fighting began so that aid could be delivered to innocent civilians in Gaza and the hostages being held by Hamas could be exchanged a few at a time for Palestinian prisoners being held by Israel. Over 100 hostages were released during the ceasefire. Fighting has since recommenced in Gaza. To date, roughly 90% of Palestinian residents in Gaza have been displaced, and thousands of civilians, the majority of whom are women and children, have been killed. As of the recording of this program, nearly 20,000 Palestinians and Israelis have been killed since October 7th. How this will end is something we can only speculate. Some fear a larger regional conflict involving Lebanon and the West Bank, which is a territory governed by the Palestinian Authority and occupied by Israel. Some have suggested that this war will be the end of both Hamas's rule in Gaza and the tenure of Benjamin Netanyahu, the current and massively unpopular Israeli prime minister. Still others are speculating how President Biden's administration's response to the conflict will affect the 2024 general election in the United States. But in truth, we don't know what will happen. What we do know is that there has been extraordinary tragedy and suffering on both sides of this conflict. We also know that the negative effects of this conflict aren't just limited to those living in Israel and Gaza. Rather, they reverberate through the rest of the world, including in the United States. And that's what we're really here to explore today. The effect that the conflict and its consequences are having on Americans, specifically those who identify as Muslim or Jewish. So first, a couple of notes about terminology. When I refer to the conflict, I'll be referring to the State of Israel and Hamas, not Jews and Muslims. There are many people who live in Israel who are not Jewish, and there are many Jewish people around the world who are neither citizens of Israel nor associate themselves with the politics of the region. Likewise, there are many Palestinians who do not identify as Muslim, and many Muslims around the world who do not associate themselves politically with the Palestinian territories. And, of course, there are many Muslims and Jews around the world who do feel a personal connection to the politics of the region. This issue is filled with shades of gray, and it would be inappropriate to equate one religious group globally with one side of the conflict. However, in the United States, anti-Muslim actions are on the rise in general. Although not all of Palestinians are Muslim and not all Muslims are Palestinian, acts of hatred against all Muslim American groups are increasing as a whole. And therefore, I will be referring to violent trends in the U.S. as anti-Muslim or anti-Semitic, respectively, as the data does not really distinguish between anti-Muslim actions and anti-Palestinian actions, or anti-Israeli actions and anti-Semitic actions. So, with that said, let's turn to the effect this conflict is having on Muslim and Jewish people and communities in the United States. You may have heard reports of historic levels of both anti-Muslim and anti-Semitic incidents since October 7th. In fact, the FBI director warned of, quote, historic levels, unquote, of anti-Semitism in the U.S. in the weeks following the onset of the conflict. Now, bigotry is nothing new for Muslims and Jews in the United States, but the recent increase in violent threats and incidents of conflict fueled by ignorance and hate has been palpable for many in these communities. In Illinois, a 6-year-old Muslim Palestinian boy named Wadia Al-Fayoumi was stabbed 26 times by his mother's landlord, who shouted, quote, "You Muslims must die," unquote, during the attack. In Vermont, 3 Palestinian college students were shot and wounded over the Thanksgiving holiday. Meanwhile, Jewish Americans experienced a 500% increase in hate crimes in just the 2-week period after October 7th, compared to the same 2-week period in 2022. How did we get here? Why is it that so many Americans who have never been to the Middle East are so emotionally invested in the conflict? And how does what's happening now compare to what's happened in the past? Well, we have to look at the history a bit. Both Muslim and Jewish people have been in what is today known as the United States since very close to the beginning of the post-Columbian period. Now, by post-Columbian, I'm referring to the years after Christopher Columbus first landed on the shores of what became known as the Americas. Although some have suggested that there may have been practicing Muslims on Columbus's voyage, we don't know that for certain, but it is possible. The first documented arrival of Muslims in the Americas was with the trade of enslaved people from Africa in the 17th century. It is estimated that as many as a third of the Africans brought to the Americas on slave ships were Muslim. Though not permitted to practice their religion publicly, many enslaved people practiced in secret or maintained at least some religious traditions of Islam throughout the generations. Jews also arrived in the Americas in the 17th century. As early as 1630, there was a sizable Jewish community in Brazil. After Portugal conquered Brazil, they were forced to leave in association with Portuguese policies about Jewish communities. Many returned to Holland, whence their families came, but some instead went to North America and established a community in New Amsterdam, today known as New York, in 1655. Over the next 150 years, Jewish communities formed in small pockets, mostly around the eastern seaboard, of what would become the United States. Though far smaller in number than practicing Muslims, the Jewish community had far more relative power than Muslims in the region, given the state of enslavement of Black Americans at the time, though Jews did not enjoy fully equal rights with Christians in the colonies. About 15% of Jews enslaved African laborers, which is actually roughly the same percentage as other white groups. Throughout the 19th century, periodic waves of both Muslims and Jews arrived in the United States from overseas. Some groups of Arab Muslims emigrated from Syria and Lebanon, while many German Jews also arrived around the same period. And meanwhile, with the abolition of slavery at the end of the Civil War in 1865, more Black Americans began openly practicing Islam as they embraced the religious traditions of their ancestors. Jewish and Muslim communities increasingly became more accepted. In 1841, Senator David Levy Yulee became the first Jewish person elected to Congress. And in 1893, an imam delivered the opening invocation at the Chicago World's Fair. As I'm sure you can guess, the story is not all sunshine and roses from there. A huge wave of anti-Semitism swept the nation in the years immediately following World War I and continued through the Second World War in the 1940s, where some of those who opposed the U.S. entering the war to interfere with the Holocaust coined the term America First, a phrase which was largely seen at the time as anti-Semitic. In decades after World War II, immigration of both Muslims and Jews to the United States increased, particularly after a loosening of U.S. immigration policy in 1965. While the early 20th century was the most intense period of anti-Semitism, the most intense moment of anti-Muslim rhetoric took place after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11, 2001. Anti-Muslim sentiment rose again during the 2015 presidential campaign. And since 2021, hate crimes, threats, and discrimination against both groups are again on the rise. So what's going on here? Well, if we look at the FBI's database tracking of hate crimes against Jews and Muslims, they often spike in tandem with one another when there are escalations of Israeli-Palestinian tensions. We can see this clearly reflected in two charts analyzing data collected by the FBI's hate crime tracking unit, and the charts were created by the nonpartisan news organization Voice of America.
For example, in August to September 2014, with the onset of the last Gaza war, there were 85 recorded incidents of anti-Semitic violence after the launch of Israel's Operation Protective Edge in Gaza in August, and 29 incidents of anti-Muslim violence after the onset of the war in September. Between 2016 and 2021, however, spikes in violence in reaction to events in the Middle East have centered on Jews, with 141 incidents in November 2018 and 108 incidents in spring 2021 in reaction to tensions between Israel and Gaza, with no discernible increase in anti-Muslim violence in response to the events.
During the period between 1991 and 2015, anti-Muslim incidents saw the largest percentage spike of the two groups, with a nearly 2,000% increase just after 9/11. However, there have been far more incidents of anti-Semitic violence in that same period, totaling over 28,000 incidents, whereas anti-Muslim incidents totaled just over 4,000. So in general, we tend to see an increase in anti-Semitic incidents in response to actions by the Israeli military, while we tend to see an increase in anti-Muslim incidents in response to terrorist action. So these raw numbers may seem to indicate greater instances of anti-Jewish sentiment in the U.S. than anti-Muslim sentiment, but that's not the whole story.
The Pew Research Center is a think tank which tracks Americans' attitudes toward different religious groups. In March 2023, as in previous surveys, Americans as a whole viewed Jews positively or, quote, don't know enough to say, unquote, while they tend to view Muslims negatively or, quote, don't know enough to say, unquote. In fact, Jews are the most well-liked religious group in the United States, with 35% of Americans saying they feel warmly towards them and only 6% saying they dislike them. In terms of warm feelings, Catholics come in at a close second at 34%, followed by mainline Protestants at 30%. Jews are the only group in the single digits when it comes to percentages of people who dislike them. The next lowest are mainline Protestants at 10%. Jews are the only group with a net positive view among atheists, and in turn are the only religious group to have a net positive view of atheists themselves.
Sentiments towards Muslims in the U.S. are a very different story. Only 17% of Americans feel warmly toward Muslims, coming in second to last, just above the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, colloquially known as Mormons, who clock in at 15%. 22% of Americans feel coldly towards Muslims, putting them right in the middle of the pack. Evangelical Christians are the least well-liked at 27%, with the Church of Jesus Christ at 25% and atheists at 24%. The only religious group with a net positive view of Muslims is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. However, Muslims and atheists are the only two groups viewed more positively by Democrats than Republicans. Since 2002, there has been a growing partisan divide in the view of Muslims, with Republicans increasingly likely to view Islam as promoting violence, rather than Democrats who are increasingly unlikely to do so. So what gives? Well, it's hard to codify. As far as treatment of Jews is concerned, the United States is considered one of the most Jewish-friendly states in the world, and with good reason. Despite significant delay in full equal rights for Jews and after the founding of the United States, Jews have been a visible part of the political and cultural sphere in the United States for the better part of two centuries. Louis Brandeis, Irving Berlin, Sandy Koufax, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, all you have to do is listen to one of Adam Sandler's many iterations of his Hanukkah song for a long list of public Jewish figures. Americans, according to survey data, tend to like Jews. And yet, Jews suffer the largest number of religiously motivated violent actions of all religious groups. Why? The answer is both sociological and historical. It's no secret that Jews have been targets of hate for millennia, particularly in majority Christian nations. Now, it is notable, as a side note, that up until the modern period, Jews were far more welcome in Muslim-majority nation-states than Christian ones, thriving, for instance, in the Ottoman Empire while being deported from Christian Europe. Now, the reasons for this history are layered, complicated, theological, and messy, and they're a subject for another day. But the short, oversimplified explanation here is old habits die hard. Historically, Jews in Christian-majority nations have often been viewed with suspicion or outright hostility. Sometimes they have been accused of subversive tactics, like causing the Black Death by poisoning the water supply of Christian communities, or accused of sacrificing Christian children as part of the Passover Seder. In American society today, Jews are often equated with Israel, and Israel is seen, largely by the left, as a social oppressor of a Palestinian minority, and this is at odds with liberal democratic values. It's not a far leap to then conclude that Jews as a whole are at odds with the values of democracy and equal rights. In short, the spike in anti-Semitism in the United States follows a familiar historic pattern, with waves of spiking anti-Semitism followed by a generation or two of relative safety and comfort for Jews in non-Jewish states before the tensions rise again. We see this throughout the Middle Ages in Europe, through the Renaissance, and then into the period of the World Wars, and finally throughout the post-World War II period. Anti-Muslim hatred, while just as virulent and objectionable, is slightly easier to codify. Militarily, the United States has been in conflict with Muslim terrorist movements for decades, with the most obvious spike, of course, being after 9/11. Some Americans, particularly those on the political right, equate Islam, and by extension Muslims, with violent terrorist action. This can lead to a suspicion of all Muslims, and even by extension all Arabs, regardless of their religion. While tensions between Muslim-majority nations and Christian-majority nations also have a long and storied history going back centuries, it is a bit easier to codify and understand than anti-Semitism in Christian-majority nations, as the tensions are often between nations or organized terrorist or military groups. What we're seeing right now, in late 2023, is a confluence of historic trends. The war in Gaza began with a terrorist action perpetrated by Hamas on October 7th. Terrorist actions such as this often result in anti-Muslim incidents in the United States. This was then followed by violent action in Gaza perpetrated by the Israeli military, and military action in Palestinian territories often results in anti-Semitic incidents in the United States. This war, in short, is a perfect storm of events and actions that tend to trigger hatred in the U.S. towards both groups. Year over year, anti-Semitic conflict has increased 500%, while anti-Muslim conflict has increased 300%. Multiple Palestinian Americans have been shot or killed in isolated acts of violence. Meanwhile, political rhetoric against Israel has begun to stray into the State Department's definition of anti-Semitism, which codifies the application of double standards to Israel, the comparison of Israeli policies to Nazi ideology, and the holding Jews accountable for the actions of the State of Israel as anti-Semitism. Palestinian Americans are expressing feelings of dehumanization, and support for President Biden and the Democratic Party as a whole has plummeted among Arab Americans. American Jews are expressing fear that American society will turn against them, as have so many other nation states in which Jews have lived as a visible minority. So what do we do? How do we protect ourselves from despair? And how do we ensure that each of us in our own hearts is not engaging in anti-Semitic or anti-Muslim thoughts and actions? Well, the first step is simply awareness. Learn something about Jewish and Muslim history in America and know that this is happening. And you're already taking the first step by listening to this episode. Talk about the fact that this is happening and that both groups are experiencing levels of hate which are unprecedented in recent decades. Learn about the history of Jewish-Palestinian relations in the Middle East to better understand its complexity. More importantly, listen more than you speak. If you find yourself in conversation with a person who identifies as Palestinian or Jewish and they want to talk, listen. Survey data shows us that people who know someone who belong to a religious minority group are far less likely to view that group negatively than those who don't know anyone who belong to it. Finally, it's essential that we all embrace cognitive dissonance and shades of gray. It is, in fact, possible to condemn the attack on Israel on October 7th and to disagree with Israel's historic treatment of Palestinians. It is possible to believe that Israel has a right to exist and has a need to protect itself from threats and also disagree with the methods it uses to do so.
It is possible to be on the side of innocent civilian victims on both sides of the conflict and disagree with the actions of both governments. We can mourn the thousands and thousands of civilians, mostly women and children, who have been killed on both sides of this conflict and still politically agree with one side over the other. There are an infinite number of seemingly contradictory opinions that can, in fact, exist in the same space. This is a complicated moment in a long history of complicated moments. Ask questions. Listen. Talk. Become informed. Monitor yourself for signs that you may be unwittingly or wittingly engaging in hate speech against one or both groups. And keep turning to resources like us for context. Until next time, be safe, be well, be reflective, and be curious. This report was produced for the National Museum of American Religion and was written by me, Dr. Colleen Pryor. It was fact-checked by Dr. Tammy Schneider from Claremont Graduate University, Dr. Salisa Yilgan from Georgetown University, and Chris Stevenson, Executive Director of the National Museum of American Religion. Video and audio were recorded and edited by Matt McNevin. Remember, if you like what you heard today, you can follow our Religion in the American Experience podcast and follow the National Museum of American Religion on social media. You can find our website at nmar.org.